Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far today. Coming up on the show, we got a jam-packed show ahead for you. We have some Bucks basketball, had a lot of milestones take place over the week. We'll break down the latest news surrounding the Badgers in the ReliaQuest Bowl, and I'll also make my NFL Week 16 predictions. But first, we are going to kick things off in Green Bay. And let's go ahead and start our Green Bay segment with a brand new guest coming to the Sports Q. Please give a round of applause to Mr. Wayne Mosser. He is the morning show host and sports director for 102.3 The Bug down in Wautoma. Wayne, good evening and thank you for coming on.
Good evening, Alex. I like your open.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Nothing like the old school Monday Night Football intro to kick things off, right?
There you go.
All right. I love it. So, Wayne, obviously, we both were at the Packer game this past Sunday covering it, and needless to say, it was a really, really rough go of it for Green Bay, especially defensively, losing to Tampa Bay 34-20. I'm pretty sure that everyone, including you, knows the answer to this, but what was the biggest reason Green Bay struggled in this game?
There are a number of reasons. We talked a little bit during the game, I think halftime or whatever, but, you know, they didn't produce anything offensively and defensively. There were so many holes, and Baker did a great job of exploiting those holes. He had open receivers, and I just didn't understand it, why there were so many open receivers. It was soft in the middle, right sideline passes. But anyway, it worked for them, and they got a big victory. The Packers suffering a really devastating loss, and their playoff hopes diminishing right now. So, yeah, I was disappointed, you know, after going to New York to take on the Giants, losing there late. The defense let them down, too. The offense didn't produce much. Pretty much the same happened on Sunday. So one of those things.
So right now, there's a lot of questions now about Joe Barry being the defensive coordinator. A lot of people have been calling for his job. A lot of people think that he shouldn't have been, you know, brought back this season. Matt LaFleur dodging questions about him in the media after the game. Do you think a defensive coordinator change should happen after the season, Wayne?
I think after the season, that probably will happen. But, you know, you don't want to disrupt things any more than what, you know, is going on right now with the record and the play of the team. So I think they're going to coach him up a little bit, maybe get some help in there. And, you know, Joe Barry, he's been on the hot seat before. So it's hard to say whether or not he'll be back next year. I don't think he will. But this season, you know, Matt LaFleur came out on Monday and said, I'm sticking with him. He's loyal to his coaches. But then it's one of those things where after a while, they have to produce too.
Yeah, talking here with Wayne Mosser. He's the sports director and morning show host for 102.3 The Bug down in Wautoma. Wayne, let's focus in on Jordan Love a little bit here. Despite the loss, I thought he played pretty well. He went 29-38, 284 yards and a couple touchdowns, quarterback rating of 111.5. I want you to give me your overall take on Love's play as a first-year starter this year.
Well, I think overall he started out okay, and then they hit the rough spot there, and they couldn't put any points on the board, and then they won three straight, and you're thinking, okay, we can make this a good run. And again, the playoffs very much there. But then going to New York, didn't play that well. And then Sunday, he played okay. Great rating. Stats were pretty good. But the thing is, they failed on that first drive. They should have taken the 3 points.
Yes.
And then LaFleur decided not to. They get the ball back on a fumble, score the touchdown on a 5-yard pass to Kraft. And you're thinking, okay, pretty good, 7-3 at the end of the first quarter. After that, though, again, the red zone offense has been bad this year. But overall, I like Jordan Love. And I think, we'll see what happens the last three games of the year. But I really like Jordan Love. I think you have to give him a chance. And I think if he does anything down the road here, they're going to bring him back, obviously. I mean, he's got a contract for next year. So I think he'll be back, and I think he'll make more improvements next year. But overall, you know, first year, Aaron Rodgers wasn't that good. He wasn't a 500 quarterback. So I think Jordan Love, he's doing okay overall.
So right now, we go ahead and look at this Packers team, Wayne. They're currently 16 on the season. They're currently in the 11th spot in the playoffs. And as you said, their playoff chances, they're not gone, but they've dwindled down significantly with these last two losses. I believe they're now at 20%. Do you think that the Packers have any shot to get in?
Well, I do, but I think they have to win out. And that starts, you know, at Carolina on Sunday. And Carolina, you know, they won last week, 3 field goals, 9-7. You sometimes wonder about teams. They had a coaching change, you know, midway through the season. But they have to win there. Then they go to Minnesota the following Sunday night, New Year's Eve, to take on the Vikings. And then that's going to be tough. And then you come home for the final game of the year, and you play the Bears. Bears aren't going to be easy.
They're no, they are not.
Up and down, but they can be very good. So I think that they have to win out. And if they do, they'll have a good chance. But I think a loss on Sunday would be totally devastating. And then even the loss at Minnesota would not be good either. So Packers, you have to finish now. They could finish 9-8.
Yep.
But you know, being 6-8 right now, it's not good. They have to win out.
Yeah, they have to. And they have to get some help as well, especially with the Rams winning, with the Saints winning as well over the New York Giants, and obviously Tampa Bay knocking them off. Plus, Seattle knocked off Philadelphia on Monday night as well, which adds an extra kink into their playoff chances.
Yes, and that was a surprise, too, because Seattle came back, you know, at the very end, big drive. It's one of those deals where it's a funny year in the NFL. I'm in this pool, a little, you know, mom-and-pop pool, and it's just tough picking games. And you go online to try and get some tips, and they're telling you the same thing. You know, this year's been really brutal to pick spreads and things like that and pick outcomes. And as the year goes along, maybe it gets a little better, but still – there are some games that are just going to frustrate you if you're doing that, and you don't know where, you know, they're going to go, what team is going to win next. So it's been an interesting year, and I do like that because parity obviously is here for most of the league.
Absolutely.
Except for a couple of teams, Carolina one of them. But at the same time, you know, it makes it frustrating to figure out who's going to win, but that's okay. You just kind of take it.
Yeah, and again, I do my predictions weekly here in the NFL, Wayne. I can't recall looking at my pool of games and thinking, okay, it could go any way, like whatever way you slice it, because we've had quarterbacks with season-ending injuries. We've had defenses that have been up and down. We've had contenders that haven't performed the way that they should have. See Kansas City and obviously recently Philadelphia. This is a very interesting year in the NFL, and Green Bay now, I think, squandered an opportunity to at least take a firm grip on the NFC playoff spot. Now they're going to have to win out, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, unfortunately, and the Packers, I think, had high hopes going to play the Giants, and that just didn't work out. And
no, it did not.
Critical, and then you've got a short week coming back, and you're at home against a team that is in the same situation as Green Bay was. You know, they both 6-7. Now the Buccaneers are 7-7, tied for the lead in the NFC South. So that was a huge game for them. You got to give them a lot of credit. Good game plan. Baker was excellent. I've always liked him. And I just thought that they wanted to win more than the Packers did. And, you know, Green Bay, when they're down, they gave up 34 points. It's tough to come back from 14 in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, one of those frustrating things. But again, yeah, you got to win out.
Yeah, you have to. Let's go ahead and talk about the next game. We're talking here with Wayne Mosser, sports director for 102.3 The Bug in Wautoma. The next game for Green Bay is in Carolina. It's on Christmas Eve. Now, the Panthers do have the worst record in the NFL, but they did beat Atlanta last week. And as you mentioned, it has been a crazy week in the NFL. What does Green Bay need to do to get the win and keep their slim playoff hopes alive?
Well, not much offense for the Panthers, and their defense suspect at times, but they can come up with big games. And they did last week, and, you know, they've got some pretty good defensive players. Their injury report, not as bad as the Packers, but they have several players that could be back, linebackers that are hopefully going to come back for them anyway. That's what they want. But I think overall, defensively, they're better, a lot better than offensively. So the Packers defense should be able to handle that, but the other thing is, can Green Bay handle the Panthers' defense? And I think they will, but they need Watson back, And hopefully they get him back. And Jair Alexander on defense is critical for the Packers. He's such a force.
Yes, he is.
And he gets the defense fired up. And I think they need to get him back in there, too. He's missed, what, a half a dozen games or so.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, I think they'll be okay. But, again, you can't look ahead. You just have to go down there, play hard for the win, and hopefully get it, and then come back and look ahead to the Vikings on New Year's Eve.
And again, you mentioned Watson, who was on the injury report, also missed last week. Reed and Wicks are also on the injury report for Green Bay. So you have their top three receivers pretty much with an injury heading into this week, which is not what you want to see.
No, it's not. But you have to, again, you're getting some good production out of some of the younger receivers.
Yes, you are.
They're all young. Tight ends have been doing pretty well, obviously, an injury early on. Kraft has done a great job. So he's an outlet right now for Jordan Love. He's the crutch guy to go to. And I think if they get open, again, it's going to be one of those situations. All teams are banged up this late in the season.
Packers yes.
had that earlier bye, and you knew then when that happened, and they had some players that didn't even come back from the bye, you know, right away, that it was going to be tough down the road. But all teams suffer these injuries. You just have to battle through, and hopefully your younger players, and they're no longer rookies. I mean, they're veterans now, can come through for you. But it's going to be tough. But
it is.
I do think the Packers have it. Aaron Jones looked good last Sunday, the first quarter especially, and then they kind of stopped him a little bit. But he still had a fairly productive day, given the circumstances with him. And looking at the stats here for Aaron Jones, 13 rushes, 53, a little over 4 yards a carry. He's explosive. He can still be explosive, and they need him to participate and contribute on Sunday.
And that will be a very big key. Again, Packers take on the Panthers. This weekend kickoff is at noon from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. Wayne Mosser, sports director from 102.3 The Bug. He also hosts the morning show every day from 5 to 10 down there in Wautoma. Wayne, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Alex, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks for Packers-Bears. You have a good night.
Same to you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, thank you very much to Wayne Mosser for joining me on the show today. Let's quickly go over the scores also from this past week in the NFL. And again, it's been a funky week, needless to say, in a funky season, as you just heard Wayne and I talk. Vegas over the Chargers, 63-21. Brandon Staley is fired. Cincinnati knocks off Minnesota, 27-24 in overtime. Indianapolis over Pittsburgh, 30-13. Detroit over Denver, 42-17. Tampa Bay over Green Bay, 34-20. New Orleans over the Giants, 24-6. Miami shuts out the Jets, 30-0. Houston over Tennessee, 19-16. Carolina over Atlanta, 9-7. Cleveland over Chicago, 20-17. Kansas City over New England, 27-17. San Francisco over Arizona, 45-29. Rams over Washington, 28-20. Buffalo over Dallas, 31-10. Baltimore over Jacksonville, 23-7. And Seattle over Philadelphia, 20-17. Thank you very much to Wayne Mosser for joining me on the program. Coming up after the break, we'll break down the Bucks milestones that took place over the last week. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to The Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
The backpack program in Tomahawk helps over 75 families each week, thanks in part to your generous support of the annual Salvation Army Red Kettle Drive during the holiday season. Your generous support is appreciated. This holiday season, the choirs and friends of St. Mary's Parish in Tomahawk will once again present their holiday musical gift to our community. Join us Christmas Eve at 8:05 here on WJJQ to hear this special concert, Festival of Christmas, featuring St. Mary's choirs and cantata holiday concert. And thank you to Jeff and Gene Walker for your continued support of this concert and the Happy Kids Backpack Program.
Ready to get the ball rolling on your local sports coverage? Then be sure to check out Sports Watch 12. The Sports Watch 12 team travels around the state to keep you up to date on game scores from local high school games to professional teams across Wisconsin, featuring live reports from WJFW's award-winning sports team. Join Saul Meyer, Will Haroldson, and Drew Celli for Sports Watch 12 every night at 10 p.m. on News Watch 12. stuck behind the wheel and can't watch News Watch 12 when it airs? Then be sure to check us out online at WJFW.com. We have up-to-date articles on news happening around the North Woods, weather reports, as well as local and regional sports articles. You can also catch our shows live when they air from our website. Miss a show? The website has an archive of old shows that you can watch at any time. Check out WJFW.com today.
Standard Mercantile is ready for Christmas. Are you? You won't believe this special. All of their fall and winter women's fashion clothing is on sale. Fashion tops, flannel shirts, sweaters, and pants, 20%, all of it. Whether you're planning a night out, looking for something new to brighten up your wardrobe, or need a special gift, see what Standard Mercantile has to offer. While you are there, don't forget to shop their backroom sale with additional bargains on fall and winter fashion. Standard Mercantile, anything but standard.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Let's go ahead and dive into some Milwaukee Bucks, shall we?
Holiday rips it away! 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
All right, let's go ahead and jump right in. Again, the Bucks, they've had a very, very successful week after losing in the in-season tournament semifinals to the Indiana Pacers. And we have four big milestones to highlight from this past week. First off, big one, Giannis Antetokounmpo breaking the Bucks franchise record with 64 points in one game. Big congratulations to Giannis. The previous record was 57. That was held by Michael Redd set back in 2006. And he's also the first NBA player with 60 points in a game since Damian Lillard had it back in February. We'll get to Dame in just a second. And also, he's the first non-guard with 60 points in a game since David Robinson put up 71 for the Spurs. All-around great performance from Giannis Antetokounmpo. And now, with the win, by the way, against Houston on Sunday, he is now the Bucks' all-time leading rebounder.
It's good to be king.
Surpassing the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he had 17 against Houston, then followed that up with 14 against the San Antonio Spurs last night in the Bucks' victory. So congratulations to Giannis Antetokounmpo, a couple of big achievements for him. Now, let's go ahead and get to some personal achievements from Damian Lillard. First off, Damian Lillard, 2,000 career three-pointers. Obviously, most of those coming with the Portland Trail Blazers, but it was great to see him break it in a Milwaukee Bucks uniform against Indiana also last week. And then he also surpassed 20,000 career points, which is absolutely amazing.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, Damian Lillard, is the eighth point guard in NBA history to score 20,000 points in a game.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Needless to say, he's also the 51st player in NBA history with 20,000 career points. Some of the other names that are up there include Chris Paul. They include Steph Curry. They include Russell Westbrook. So congratulations to Damian Lillard. Bucks have now won five straight coming out of the in-season tournament with victories over Chicago, Indiana, Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio last week. Dame and Giannis over the last few games have been averaging 60 or more points. Giannis obviously didn't have as much of a scoring night as he did, but that's because Lillard had 40, Bobby Portis at 23, and the Bucks were able to handle their business against San Antonio. It also helps having a six-game homestand. Just needless to say, and against, you know, some of the lesser teams. It took them a while to beat Chicago. It took overtime to beat them. They knocked off Indiana, albeit without Tyrese Halliburton, but the Pacers have been struggling immensely. Again, Giannis was 64 that night. Knocked off Detroit. The Pistons have been absolutely reeling. They've lost 24 straight games. Could be 25 tomorrow when they take on the Utah Jazz. And they also beat the Houston Rockets. And Houston is improved this year. They are very, very well coached. Ime Udoka and also Dillon Brooks with that team and Fred VanVleet. Houston's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Western Conference. Keep an eye on them. And now they probably have their toughest opponent coming up to end their homestand, which is against the Orlando Magic. And Orlando has been a great surprise this year. Paolo Banchero is starting to lead that team to become a top four seed currently in the Eastern Conference. So this is going to be a very intriguing matchup. I'm curious to see how those two will do together. Again, Giannis with his rebounding mark, he passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most in Bucks history. And he is also further helping his case, in my opinion, as the best player in Bucks franchise history. That is absolutely phenomenal. I think to cement his status as that, he'll need to win one more title. Just one. Because Kareem only got one when he was in Milwaukee, and he's more known for having, I believe, five or six with the Lakers. I would have to double-check the numbers on that. And being the all-time leading scorer. So I'm glad for Giannis. He is cementing his status. I think to put him head and shoulders above Abdul-Jabbar, he just needs to keep playing the way that he's playing. But I also believe a championship will help as well. Bucks again wrap up the homestand tomorrow as they take on the Orlando Magic. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock from Pfizer Forum. Coming up after the break, we will be breaking down the bowl games that took place across the College Bowl landscape. And also, I'll break down the latest news surrounding LSU and Wisconsin in the ReliaQuest Bowl coming up New Year's Day. That's coming up on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Outboards Bar and Grill would like to wish everyone a happy holiday season. It's been a great year. Blake, Billy, and the staff, thank you for your patronage. The kitchen at Outboards will be closing at 2 on Christmas Eve, with the bar closing at 4, and Outboards will be closed on Christmas Day. Have a safe and happy holiday season in the Northwoods area from Outboards Bar and Grill. On Christmas Eve, the kitchen will close at 2 and the bar at 4. Outboards is closed on Christmas Day. Get on board. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Happy holidays. Just For You Fitness of Tomahawk provides the community with a top-notch fitness facility where everyone fits in and feels comfortable no matter what your fitness level or experience is. Now through December 31st, Just For You Fitness is running a one-year holiday membership special. For $375, you can get the one-year membership to work out 24/7. If you're looking to lose weight, tone up, or increase your overall health and fitness, Just For You Fitness is the place. Just For You has treadmills, arc trainers, recumbent bikes, cable machines, plus free weights and dumbbells. Call 453-5100 for the details on the one-year holiday membership special for $375. Just For You Fitness, online at justforyoufitness.com, or stop by for a tour during managed hours. Just For You Fitness, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, offering fitness on your time and the one-year holiday membership for $375 now through December 31st.
The Aspira's Tomahawk Hospital Foundation would like to take this opportunity to thank the many individuals who have generously donated throughout the year, including our Love Lights program. The foundation expresses its sincere appreciation to the continued commitment from our community for your generous support and contributions toward the enhancement of healthcare in Tomahawk. The annual fund drive will be underway soon. If you would like to make a contribution, send your donation to Aspira's Tomahawk Hospital Foundation at 401 West Mohawk Drive in Tomahawk, 54487. We wish you and your family a safe, healthy, and joyous holiday season from the Aspira's Tomahawk Hospital Foundation.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you from the WJJQ studios. It's currently 5:55. We'll get to CBS News in just a few minutes. First, let's quickly recap the beginning of bowl season across the college football landscape. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, Ohio over Georgia Southern 41-21. New Orleans Bowl, Jacksonville State over Louisiana in overtime 34-31. In the Cure Bowl, Appalachian State over Miami of Ohio 13-9. New Mexico Bowl, Fresno State over New Mexico State 37-10. In the LA Bowl, UCLA over Boise State 35-22. Independence Bowl, Texas Tech over Cal 34-14. In the famous Toastery Bowl, Western Kentucky comes back from down 28 to beat Old Dominion in overtime 38-35. And in the Frisco Bowl, sponsored by Scooter's Coffee, delicious. UTSA over Marshall 35-17. Taking a look at bowl games coming up until the next rendition of the Sports Q, which will be next week at 6. We have in the Boca Raton Bowl, South Florida against Syracuse. Gasparilla Bowl is Georgia Tech and UCF. Camellia Bowl, Arkansas State and Northern Illinois. In the Birmingham Bowl, Troy and Duke. Famous Idaho Potato Bowl is Georgia State and Utah State. Famous Armed Forces Bowl, James Madison and Air Force. 68 Ventures Bowl, South Alabama and Eastern Michigan. Las Vegas Bowl, Utah and Northwestern. Hawaii Bowl, Coastal Carolina and San Jose State. Quick Lane Bowl is Bowling Green and Minnesota. First Responder Bowl, Texas State and Rice. Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Kansas and UNLV. Military Bowl, Virginia Tech and Tulane. And the Duke's Mayo Bowl is North Carolina and West Virginia. All the other ones that will be played will be coming up after the Sports Cue next week on WJJQ. Now let's quickly go over the breaking news that we have coming out of the gas of the ReliaQuest Bowl, which Wisconsin will play in on January 1st. And it is good news for the Badgers. Jaden Daniels is not going to play against Wisconsin. He is going to opt for the NFL draft. He is going to go ahead and take the bowl game off so that he can prep. And we've seen a lot of college players do this. It's nothing new. This is a big boost for the Badgers. I don't know if it'll get them to a victory, but they certainly have now a little bit more of an edge than what they previous had. Daniels was the Heisman Trophy winner this year. He had arguably the best quarterback performance of the season with 50 total touchdowns in the year. But Braylon Allen's also not going to play for Wisconsin, and it hurts extra with Ches Malusi still out. Wisconsin's going to be without their top two running backs like they were for a few weeks, and it will likely be Jackson Aker as the top runner, which it has been for most of the season. And my big thing is that Tanner Mordecai may have to throw a lot in this bowl game because they've had a couple of receivers that entered the transfer portal as well. And it's still a lot, and it's still a tall task to go against LSU. Their backup is Garrett Nussmeier, who has 196 yards and a touchdown so far out of the season. He's a sophomore out of Lake Charles, Louisiana. But Jaden Daniels is not the only offensive threat Wisconsin has to worry about. You have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, who is a deadly receiver combo, which could very, very well work in LSU's favor, no matter who is at quarterback. Malik Nabers, he had over 1,500 receiving yards this season. And again, Brian Thomas also had 1,000 yards. So this LSU offense is still very, very capable of putting up big plays, no matter who is at quarterback. And Daniels will also be hit to a running game as well. Jaden Daniels was LSU's leading rusher this season, and he's probably going to go in the first round in the NFL draft, depending on what team he decides to go to. Logan Diggs was their number two rusher, and he is their starting running back. So it's going to be very curious to see how LSU approaches their offense, essentially how approaches their offense without Jaden Daniels. So we get to see an LSU team on not necessarily full display, but decent display. Tigers still 7-point favorites over Wisconsin heading into the ReliaQuest Bowl on New Year's Day. That's going to wrap up our first half of the Sports Cue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coming up on the other side of CBS News and our weather forecast, we'll sit down with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley to get his thoughts on his team's start to the season. And I will also make my NFL Week 16 predictions. All that coming up on the second half of the Sports Cue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It's currently 30 degrees here in the Northwoods, and it's pretty much pitch black outside with it being the winter, obviously. It's just about 6 o'clock. It's now time for our latest update from CBS News.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Cue on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. President Biden's welcoming the release of 10 Americans freed today in a prisoner swap with Venezuela.
They're in an aircraft on their way home to the United States. And we've secured the release of every American being held in Venezuela.
CBS's Robert Legarry.
Venezuela is going to be receiving Alex Saab, who is an ally of Nicolas Maduro, accused of money laundering, engaging in a bribery scheme in Venezuela. Fat Leonard, Leonard Francis, who is a Malaysian financier who ran a company in Asia that kind of managed ports and had a lot of contact with U.S. naval ships.
He was at the center of one of the largest bribery schemes in naval history. The leader of Hamas is in Egypt today discussing another possible ceasefire to get more hostages released. Correspondent Robert Berger.
Israel is said to be offering a one-week pause in fighting in exchange for 40 hostages, including women, elderly men, and the sick. In turn, Israel is prepared to release Palestinian prisoners, including Hamas militants convicted of terrorism.
U.S. Parks Police are investigating the vandalism of the Lincoln Memorial in D.C. Someone dumped red paint on the monument steps and wrote the word Gaza. It could take days now to remove. NASA and the White House are inviting an international astronaut on a future moon landing. Vice President Kamala Harris talked about the need for global cooperation today at a meeting of the National Space Council.
Our duty as nations must be to work together to make that opportunity real.
Americans will head back to the moon for the first time in decades in 2025. The Las Vegas Health Department says there are no active tuberculosis cases after someone with the disease visited two dozen schools. Here's CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Students and staff at more than a dozen schools who had close contact with the person will be tested starting this week, and everyone at one elementary school will undergo testing next month.
The Salvation Army is scaling back bell ringers in big cities. KCBS radio reporter Matt Bigler's in San Francisco.
We'd like to have more kettles out, but it doesn't pencil out.
Major Matthew Madsen says instead of blanketing shopping centers with bell ringers, they are redeploying them at popular holiday events.
With the amount of foot traffic that we have, we believe we're going to make up the difference. Work smarter, not harder, if you will.
Bell ringers brought in just over $100 million last year, a 19% drop from 2019.
Winning the Powerball could help for the holidays. Tonight's jackpot is close to $600 million. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No. We tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
The FDA has approved the first test to assess if there's a risk of opioid addiction in certain people.
The test, called AVERT-D, is intended to be used before the first use of oral opioid painkillers in those being considered for a prescription of up to 30 days for the treatment of acute pain, such as before or after surgery. It's a prescription-only genetic lab test for patients 18 and older and for those who have never used oral opioid painkillers. A cheek swab collects a DNA sample that's used to determine if there's a combination of genetic variants that may be associated with an elevated risk of developing an addiction. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Christmas trees aren't just for your living room. NASA found one in space. It released an image of a Christmas tree cluster in the Milky Way that shows a group of young stars glowing in green. Each star is anywhere between 1 million and 5 million years old. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Anyone want to take a Christmas vacation to space?
WJJQ Radio Sports Time at 6.05 p.m. and 30 degrees here in the Northwoods. It's currently dark. Coming up on the second half of the Sports Cube, we'll sit down with Hatchet Hockey coach Dewey Riley to get his thoughts on his team's start to the season. And plus, I'll also make my NFL Week 16 predictions. Plus, as another treat for you, we're going to have our Hatchet Highlights of the Week, and it'll be Tomahawk Hockey defeating the Mosinee Indians last week 9-4 for their first win over Mosinee in over 4 years. All that's coming up on the second half of the Sports Cue right after this on WJJQ.
Augie and his family from Augie's Collectibles in downtown Tomahawk would like to wish all their customers and friends a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Augie would like to thank you for your patronage over the years. Have a very Merry Christmas and prosperous 2024 from Augie's Collectibles, South 2nd Street in downtown Tomahawk.
Hello, Tomahawk and surrounding areas. This is Master Electrician Ricky Mir from the original Mir Electric Incorporated, wishing you an electrified holiday season for you and your family. I'm a second-generation Wisconsin-certified Master Electrician and licensed electrical contractor. I would like to take this time to thank all of my customers and contractors for a great construction year. From myself, my wife Roxanne, parents Greg and Sandy, and my crew of hardworking men, which include my two sons, we would like to wish you and your families a happy holiday season and a great new year. And always remember to be picky and call Ricky.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, we'll see some passing clouds, low temperature in the lower part of the 20s, light easterly wind, mostly cloudy tomorrow, still warmer than normal temperatures, high at 36, east-southeast wind up to 10, a chance of light freezing drizzle late Thursday night, low 29, and Friday cloudy with light freezing drizzle early, then patches of drizzle into the afternoon, fog possible with a high of 37, Saturday mostly cloudy, high 41, Christmas Eve cloudy breezy with near record warmth, high at 46 degrees, scattered rain showers possible in the afternoon and likely at night. Christmas Day looks wet and warm as well. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
Your friends and neighbors at CIS Insurance Group on North 4th Street in Tomahawk would like to send out their sincere wishes for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. May you enjoy peace, health, and happiness. Thank you for allowing CIS Group to serve all your insurance needs. CIS Group will continue to offer innovative insurance solutions for you. Call 453-3366 for questions on any of your insurance needs. Happy holidays from the CIS Insurance Group family in Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Currently joining me on the show and coming back is Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley. Dewey, welcome back to the show.
As always, thank you for having me, Alex.
Absolutely. Let's get right into it here. Let's rewind very quickly last week and talk a little bit more about your win over Mosley last Thursday. I got a lot of fans and the community excited here with your 9-4 win. What impressed you the most about the win last Thursday?
I think our ability to move the puck and the fact that we were embracing this kind of a worker's mentality. I think that we have plenty of skilled kids on the team. It's when they utilize those skills and just implement that work ethic where it's you're going to go win a shift, win a period, try to win a game. I think we did that, and we're starting to see that. You know, we haven't put a complete game together yet, but We're inching closer and closer to it.
You know, your team has gotten off to a really good start to begin the season here, Dewey. You're currently 6-2, including 3-0 in Great Northern Conference play. You beat Rhinelander for the first time in 7 years earlier this year. You beat Mosinee for the first time in 4 years this season. Why do you think this team is performing so well?
I think that the team is just maturing. I think that, you know, these kids have been used to winning for a long time. And they're starting to believe that they can do it. I think that they're starting to have a little bit of swagger and a little bit of confidence. And I think that, again, you know, they've talked about being successful, and now they're actually starting to implement it, which, again, when they see the results of what's happening, when it's not just a single individual or a couple individuals, it's a whole team working together, I think that that we can do some really good things.
Talking here with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley here on the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Dewey, one of the things that you have that I've noticed is that you've been getting a lot of great output, including from Jonah Dickens, Landon Seymour. You've had Austin Lamer, even though he's a junior, has been running the offense. How have the underclassmen responded to the challenge so far this year?
Very similar to what we did in football, where we're asking sophomores to be seniors. We have some very good, you know, upperclassmen talent, and some guys that, you know, have not always had success on the scoreboard, but have the ability to be very productive. When you look at what we do on the ice, it's a reflection of what the locker room is like and what the mentality is as the team. You know, we spend a lot of time working hard, but we also spend a lot of time laughing and joking and, you know, team feeds. And I had one of the parents who had put on the team feed had commented about, you know, just the general vibe on how good it feels and how, you know, whether you play a large part or a small part on the team, everything is kind of meshing together. And when you look at that, you're going to see kids not as freshmen, sophomores, seniors. You're going to look at them as line mates and teammates and ideally, you know, friends. And I think that's when things start to come together and you end up getting something special.
You know, you're looking at this team. Let's focus in on your goalie as well, Trevor Salisgar. He's gotten off to a pretty good start overall. He's got a save percentage near 90% coming into the game tomorrow against Mosinee. What have you thought about his performance overall so far to begin the year?
Very similar to the team in that, you know, the vast majority has been good. We've had a couple of let-ups here and there, which is, again, similar to the team as a whole. I don't think that neither the team nor Trevor has really put a whole game together yet, and it's just that attention to detail and that consistency that I think will be better, you know, tomorrow than we were yesterday. I think that we'll be better in February than we are today. And that is kind of the goal going forward, is that, you know, we enjoy the wins, we learn from the losses, and if we're not winning, we're learning.
Again, talking here with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Dewey, as you start to head into the holiday break, what do you think you need to improve on the most?
I think just the ability to kind of embrace the grind. We're going to be getting into, you know, tomorrow is a Mosinee game. You know, it's always a good competitive game. Then we're going to go into our holiday tournament, which looks like a, you know, state tournament bracket. Then we come back to Lakeland. Then we have a run of 6 games in 10 days. And it's just going to be that ability to work, rinse, repeat, and be able to do it really, really well, because we want to be able to compete and be our best night in and night out, even if we've played a game the night before or 2 games, you know, in the last previous days. That is going to be, you know, my sole focus going forward, is not only focus on the kids' development skill, but trying to keep them as healthy and prepared as possible so that, again, we are peaking in February, not running out of gas in February.
So let's go ahead and focus in on your showdown tomorrow with Mosinee. Again, you beat them 9-4 just last Thursday. What, if anything, do you think you need to do what do you think you need to do differently tomorrow from the first matchup you had with this particular team?
I think just reiterating how we need to approach each game. I think that last week, you know, with the night's events and everything that had happened, it was an emotional game for us, and we were able to tap into that and maybe tap into some of the energy that it gave us. You know, it was a very good crowd for us. Now we're going to be going to Mosinee, where, you know, the table might turn. I think for us, we just need to embrace that mentality of, it doesn't matter who we're playing. If we do what we do, play together and do it well, we will always have a chance to compete and hopefully have a chance to be successful. And that's how we need to embrace going into some of these, you know, more quote-unquote hostile environments, and that don't get caught up in the negative emotion. Focus on what you can control and do it to the best of your ability.
Dewey, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here today?
No, it's just like I always say, thank you to the community for supporting us. Thank you to the Big Q for having us on and giving us some recognition. Hopefully we keep showing up and giving you guys some entertainment.
Let's hope so. Again, Tomahawk takes on Mosinee tomorrow night at the Mosinee Recreation Center. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Dewey Riley, thank you very much for joining me. Looking forward to the second half of the season.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this here on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Kevin Ehrman, your State Farm Insurance agent of Tomahawk, would like to wish all of his customers and friends a safe and happy holiday season. From everyone at State Farm Insurance in downtown Tomahawk, they find it a real pleasure to turn aside from everyday efforts to send warm season's greetings to you and your family. May your holiday season and upcoming new year be merry and bright. From Kevin and Elizabeth Ehrman and their family to you and your family. From State Farm Insurance in downtown Tomahawk.
It's almost time to enjoy the sounds of the holidays. Hi, I'm Jade from Crossbridge Community Bank. We are proud sponsors of the annual St. Mary's Christmas Concert. This year's concert, Festival of Christmas, will air here on WJJQ on Christmas Eve at 8:05 p.m. So grab your hot cocoa, cozy up with your family, and tune in this Christmas Eve to enjoy this annual event. And Merry Christmas from Crossbridge Community Bank, where we always put purpose first.
This is Keith Hansey, broker associate with Northwoods Community Realty. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all my clients for allowing me to provide professional service with all your real estate transactions. Whether buying or selling, I appreciate your trust. Please let me know if I can be of service to you with your real estate needs in 2024. Call me at 966-1032. Keith Hansey with Northwoods Community Realty.
A few moments later.
Welcome back to the Sports Q. Here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. And I went 11-5 in my predictions last week.
I'm a college man. I won't need my high school diploma anymore. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
Nothing gone wrong with a little bit of old school Simpsons. But let's go ahead and do our Week 16 NFL predictions, huh? Let's jump right in. Let's go ahead and kick things off. Just a very quick note. No games will be broadcast on WJJQ this weekend. So no broadcasts. All these games you'll have to watch on TV for them. Kicking things off with a big Thursday night game coming up tomorrow. New Orleans taking on the LA Rams. Saints looking to take control of the NFC South. Rams fighting for a playoff spot. I've got the Rams winning this game. I like how well they played throughout the last few weeks. I'm going to take LA to win 24-21. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. The next couple of games are going to be on Saturday. This is going to be an interesting matchup. Pittsburgh has been reeling. Cincinnati has been able to stay pat with Jake Browning at quarterback. I think they do the same here. I think the Bengals win 20-17. Bills at the Chargers. Chargers going with Easton Stick the rest of the way, and also without Brandon Staley, who got fired on Friday. I'm going to take the Bills to win 27-17. On Christmas Eve, Green Bay in Carolina. That game will kick off at noon. I'm going to take the Packers winning this game. I think they get back in the win column and keep their faint playoff hopes alive 23-14. Detroit at Minnesota. This is a big matchup. If Detroit wins, they'll have their first division title since 1991. And I'm going to take the Lions to win and clinch the NFC North today. 27-17 over the Vikings. And I think the Vikings will drop to 7-8. Jets and the Commanders. Both these teams have been eliminated from playoff contention. Don't really think anything of it. I'm going to take the Jets to win 22-19. Houston and Cleveland. Very intriguing matchup. It depends on the health, in my opinion, of CJ Stroud, if Houston's going to be able to win this game. I think that he will go ahead and play, and I've got the Texans winning over the Browns 21-20. Meanwhile, next game, Seattle taking on Tennessee. Tennessee has also been eliminated from playoff contention. Seahawks, by the way, still clinging to fighting for a playoff spot along with Minnesota, New Orleans, LA, all those teams that you fought for. And I'm going to take the Seahawks to win. It depends on the health of Geno Smith, in my opinion. I do also believe that the Seahawks are just a better team overall than the Titans. Titans are seeming to be floundering, obviously, with a rookie quarterback in there. But I still believe that they'll put up a fight. I got Seattle winning 23-20. Indianapolis and Atlanta. The Falcons losing to the Panthers last week. And you've also got the Indianapolis Colts taking on. I'm not going to try and be bold this week, but I guess you could say this is a bit of an upset.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I'm going to take the Colts over the Falcons 27-24. Next game is going to be Jacksonville and Tampa Bay. This is a battle for South Florida, if you will. Always fun when those two teams go against each other. Jaguars have lost three straight. Tampa Bay has won 3 out of 4 to maintain first place in the NFC South. But I think the Jaguars right the ship. I'm going to take them to knock off Tampa Bay just because I simply think they're the better team. Jacksonville over Tampa 21-17. Chicago clinging on to dear life for a postseason spot as they take on the Arizona Cardinals. I got the Bears winning this game. I think Chicago will play nip and tuck. They will play spoiler to maybe a team or two down the stretch depending on who that is. I got the Bears winning 27-20. Big one coming up on Christmas Eve, 3:25 on Fox. Miami and Dallas going toe-to-toe. Both teams 10-4. Both teams fighting for playoff positioning. Cowboys are fighting for a division title. Meanwhile, Miami, they're currently in first place in the AFC East. I think that this is going to be a very, very close game. I think it'll go back and forth. But the fact that Dallas was so vulnerable running the football last week, I think the Dolphins will have their number. I've got Miami winning this game 34-31. And I've got a 4-touchdown day from Tua Tagovailoa.
4 touchdowns in 1 game.
4 touchdowns in 1 game.
4 touchdowns in 1 game.
New England and Denver is the Sunday night game on the NFL Network. Again, New England eliminated from playoff contention. Denver fighting for a playoff spot. They did take a bit of a step back with losing to Detroit, but I think they get back in the win column. I think they win 23-10 and keep their playoff hopes alive. Now we move to the Christmas Day slate of games. Ho, ho, ho. Kansas City at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. This is going to be an intriguing matchup. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I think it'll be close because most of these games between these two teams are pretty close. They're typically within one score. I got the Chiefs winning 24-17. Then the next one we have is the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants.
New York Giants!
I got the Eagles winning this game 30-17. I think they break their three-game losing streak. But if the Giants win, they could definitely play spoiler to the Eagles in the NFC East. And finally, our Monday Night Football game on Christmas night. And this is the game of the week, in my opinion. You've got the two number one seeds going toe-to-toe in the Golden City known as San Francisco, 49ers and Ravens. This is going to be a fun one. I am very excited to see what these two teams have in store. I think this is going to be a tight game. It'll go back and forth. Very excited to see what Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy do in that quarterback matchup. I'm going to take the Niners to win just because they're at home. I think they get the W 28-27 over Baltimore. That is a look at my NFL Week 16 predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
When you think of Christmas, what comes to mind? Decorated trees, lots of brightly wrapped packages, sending out cards and letters to far away family and friends. Baking cookies. Well, there are so many happy memories of Christmas joys, and Park City Credit Union in Tomahawk hopes that this holiday season will make you even more happy memories. Happy holidays from your friends at the Park City Credit Union of Tomahawk, also serving the Northwoods from Merrill, Minocqua, and Rhinelander. The Park City Credit Union invites you to join us for the Tomahawk High School and Middle School Band and Choir Holiday Concerts coming up on Christmas Day.
Hetzel Plumbing and Heating wishes you a Merry Christmas and a safe and healthy holiday season. Hetzel Plumbing and Heating has been serving the Northwoods since 1910, and you can count on them for all of your plumbing and heating needs. Give them a call at 453-3715. Hetzel Plumbing and Heating thanks you for your support. Merry Christmas from Todd, Kristen, and the entire crew.
Kinship of Tomahawk would like to wish everyone a safe and Merry Christmas. Kinship thanks the community for their support in all they do. It takes a village to do what Kinship does. Thanks, Tomahawk, for your continued support of Kinship and the youth we serve. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from all of us at Kinship of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 as we head into our final countdown. Taking a look at upcoming Hatchet events for the rest of the week. Hatchet Boys Wrestling will have the Hodag Scramble coming up at the Hodag Dome tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Tomahawk will compete with 27 other teams in the Scramble along with Antigo and Rhinelander, their great Northern Conference rivals. Tomahawk Hockey back in action tomorrow night as they take on Mosinee at the Rec Center. Puck will drop at 7 o'clock. And also, Hatchet Boys Basketball will have their final matchup before the Christmas holiday as they travel to Elko. Varsity tip-off is at 7 o'clock. Terry, Tim, and I will be in the broadcast booth with the Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show beginning at 6:35 from Elko here on WJJQ. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. And our final event of the week is Hatchet Girls Wrestling. They are going to be taking on, they're actually going to have an invite, excuse me, at Wrightstown. That'll be at 5:15 on Friday night. Other than that, after that, it's going to be Christmas, and then everything will start back up with the Hatchet Basketball Invitational coming up next week. Thank you very much for tuning into tonight's program. Again, a bit of a shorter show this week. I've decided to do it because I feel like that I deserve a bit of a break with the holidays coming up. So coming up, to go ahead and close it out, we're going to play some Hatchet hockey highlights from last Thursday as Tomahawk knocked off Mosinee 9-4, and it was a big day for the Hatchets. A very emotional game. It's probably one of the most emotional games I can recall, you know, broadcasting in my time with the great Zach Garner. Big night also from the Hatchet hockey squad. Be sure to go ahead and tune in, and also be sure to tune in tomorrow for Hatchet Boys Basketball on WJJQ. That's going to go ahead and wrap it up for me here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Thank you very much for tuning in. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Kwanzaa. Have a great, wonderful, and safe holiday season. Have a sportacular week, and I'll hear from you next week. Hey-ya!
evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us here. We're coming to you once again back at Sarah Park here in Tomahawk, where tonight we got another great Northern Conference showdown, and back in the booth with me is the one and only Zach Garner. Welcome back, Zach.
Good to be here, Alex. Got another exciting game. GNC action. Two of the top teams in the conference. Nothing more you can ask for.
Now loose puck around the boards. Now goes right to Obremski. Obremski tries to pass it out. Now loose puck. Hannah with a shot. Save. Rebound. Score! Caleb Dickens with the rebound off the shot from Hannah, and the hatchet strike first. 10:46 to go, first period. It's 1-0.
Yeah, Caleb Dickens followed up. I believe that was the second rebound. Sawyer Hannah had the first shot, and Karst made the first two saves, but couldn't make the third. And Caleb Dickens, the puck just kind of stretched out to the left side here, and he just had to fire and was right down the middle. I think he hit the center post right in the back of the net, and it popped right back out, but definitely went in the net.
Corralling it is Gavin Obremski. Tries to send it up, but instead he's in a tussle with Bo Stromberg, and he is going to get it right to Austin Lehmer. Lehmer looking to operate. John, goal, they score! Whoa! Austin Lehmer puts it back into the left corner. 6:40 to go in the first period. 2-0. Wow!
Yeah, that play was all Austin Lehmer. What a great shot. He picked out the corner. Didn't have a whole lot of space right out in the slot. Just kind of sliced across and picked out the upper corner. Step up, or are they a little let down after that, a little deflated?
Well, here's Jonah Dickens. Dickens looks to operate. That sends it right back to Rex Riley. Shot on goal, he score! Wow! Rex Riley putting a bullet right over the top of Karst from the blue line. 3-1 hatchets. They get the power play goal. Wow!
The seas kind of parted there. Several Mosinee players and the hatchet were kind of battling in front in the slot, and all three were on the ice, and Rex just came down and fired a shot.
Tries to get the pass off to Caleb Dickens. Could not get that shot off in time. Tomahawk able to keep it in the Mosinee zone. Shot from Austin Lehmer is going to be a save. Rebound shot and score! Caleb Dickens again with his second goal of the night. 4-1 Tomahawk, 11:29 to go, second period. And now he will leave it for Caleb Dickens. Dickens looks to operate. Dickens makes a move. Shot on goal. He scores! Bo Stromberg puts it in on the one-timer, and it's 5-1 Tomahawk. They get the goal with 8 seconds left in the 5-on-3. That one's going to be sent right back along the boards. Jonah Dickens tries to clear it, and he is able to with Landon Seymour. Gets it up ahead. Jonah Dickens with a potential breakaway. Dickens with a shot from behind. Makes a move on Karst, and he scores! Jonah Dickens with his second goal of the period, and the hatchets come right back. 7-3. 9:28 to go. Landon looking to operate. You got sophomore with sophomore there. Logan now with it. Logan looking. Shot on goal. Knocked away. Deflected. Right to Jonah Dickens. Shot on goal. He scores. Jonah Dickens with a hat trick in the third period. It's 8-3 with 7:04 to go.
Yeah, the puck slid. He was playing catch back and forth, and the puck came out to him. He had a wide open net, and all he had to do was go up high, and he put the puck away.
And instead, it'll be a loose puck right in front of the boards, fighting for it, Logan Seymour. And now loose puck right in front. And now here comes Jonah Dickens once again. Dickens will just go ahead and put it in the empty net. Jonah Dickens with 4 goals, all of them in this third period, keeping pace. And Tomahawk will go to 6-2 and 3-0 in Great Northern Conference play with a likely 9-4 victory. Fans are cheering here in Sarah Park, and the hatchets get a victory over the Mosinee Indians tonight here at Sarah Park. Final score, Tomahawk 9, Mosinee 4.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5, WJJQ Tomahawk.